One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Coming, ready or not? I used to love playing that as a kid, that moment of discovery, that moment when you were able to go to the place where my brother would normally hide and catch him there and be able to be on top of the game. It's that sense of expectancy that this season of Advent can feel kind of strange and weird. It's the season that we're not quite sure what to do with, and yet it's the season that we so desperately need. We have Christmas this year on a Sunday, which means that Advent is as long as it gets, the full 4 weeks. So next year, when Christmas will fall on a Monday, then Advent shrinks to just 3 weeks and 1 day. But one of the nice things about next year is that just the way that the weeks kind of unfold, that we'll get the full 34 weeks of ordinary time. Normally you cut out one or two of the weeks and you jump over the top of that. So Advent, again, we're not quite sure kind of what it's all about. It comes from the Greek word parousia, which means the coming, the second coming of Jesus. And it's that longing that we have for the Lord to break in, to be present to our world. It's a season that has a kind of penitential character, but it's also all over the place in terms of what its central theme is. It talks about the second coming of Jesus. It talks about the preparation of the prophets. Isaiah is our main accompanist during these days, both on the Sunday readings and during the weekday readings. But then we also have the figures of John the Baptist. We have the preparations for the actual birth of Jesus when he was born to Mary. So all of those different kind of themes are there going through this system. But above all, it is this sense of expectancy, this longing that we have, that we need this time. It's a good opportunity to kind of reflect on where we've been so far over the course of this year. You know, when we look back to 12 months ago, to the end of November 2021, you know, that was when we were just beginning to emerge from that terrible period of the second lockdown. Of course, case numbers were slowly, in fact, starting to rise at that point as the Delta variant turned into the Omicron. And we just hit the 200,000 cases threshold. The 100,000 case had been about a month or so before that. So it had taken, you know, almost 2 years to get to the 100,000, and then the second 100,000 was only a month. Little did we know just how rapidly the cases would begin to unfold as we approached Christmas. And of course, by the middle of January, we were getting 100,000 cases every day of the week there for some time. So at the moment, apparently we're about 10.6 million officially counted cases within Australia, although serology reports indicate that it's more likely that around, that's about 40% to 10 million, but it's more likely that there's in fact around two-thirds of the Australian population has in fact had COVID. So the case numbers should probably be 18 to 20 million cases that we've had. Of course, there's also been the horrors and the war that we continue to see, and just the terrors of that system, that the whole unfolding situation in the Ukraine. Today, the Ukrainian people commemorate those terrible deeds of another Russian under Stalin back in 1933 and 34, when the Russians stole most of the grain crop of the Ukrainian people, because Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. It's able to sustain its enough food to provide and feed for all of its people. But over the course of that year, the Russians stole more than 3 million tons of wheat and grain from the Ukrainian people, resulting in between 3 and 7 million, mainly children, who died as a result of that atrocity. And so we remember just, you know, the horrors of what people can do to each other in order to turn a profit, in order to win a little bit more money and prestige for themselves among their people. Today, for us, we of course kind of confounded by the Black Friday sales, and then tomorrow is Cyber Monday, and then we move, of course, into that final hectic period of lead up to Christmas. The shops have long been decorated in the Christmas colours and all of the Christmas paraphernalia that is there, as our church slowly is now transformed into that Christmas spirit. But all of that can just be so overwhelming. Most of our calendars are quite full at the moment, and all of that sense of, wow, how am I going to get through all of this, let alone actually facing whatever might be unfurled over the actual Christmas period with all of our wonderful families that are sometimes filled with people like me, people who are weird, people who are strange, people who are dysfunctional, people who have all kinds of baggage, and that just make this season just that little bit strange and uncomfortable to be present to. So what do we do? How do we actually move through this time? And I think there is this gift in being able to experience Advent as that time indeed to wake up, just to step aside from all of that activity, all of that frantic stuff that surrounds us and fills us, all of those temptations to eat some more and shop some more in order to placate all of those deeper anxieties that we carry and that we hold, to that deeper reality to say, no, in this moment, I need simply to acknowledge that so often there are things in my life that are simply unhelpful, things that just no longer serve me well, attitudes of mind, habits of life, addictions, all kinds of things that can just slowly creep up and be part of our lives. And Advent can be a time when we simply choose the better way, when we choose to lay aside those things in order to find the freedom to choose the way of life. We can indeed turn away from sin and turn towards Him, turn towards the one who loves us, the one who has saved us, the one who will free us. This season of Advent offers us this opportunity to experience hope in a new way, hope that is deepened, hope that is able to be enlivened within us, hope that is not simply optimism. It's not really even connected or related to optimism, because hope is in a person. Optimism is just in stuff turning out well and being okay at the end of the day. But hope is always centered and based in our faith. Hope is always about our relationship with God. And so during these days, we can have that radical desire to follow God, to live for God, to serve God, to love God, and to let God call me into more authentic life, into a more authentic way of being myself, of allowing that love to mold me and shape me and to give me that opportunity to respond in little ways, to be more faithfully present within the world and to be that sign and source of the coming of God, and allow that to be a sign of joy and a sign of hope for others as well.